Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to continue and finish up, Lord willing, tonight, chapter 11, as we consider the major ministry shift that is taking place here as He closes out this scene. The Lord Jesus Christ has been rejected by the cities of Galilee, and He knows what's coming in Jerusalem. And so He, at this time, thanks the Father for how He has chosen to administrate His universe, and that He was intent upon making sure that only those who desired the Lord Jesus Christ would be able to know and understand the truth, and that those who rejected it would not. I want to read these final verses, verses 25 through 30, from the Amplified Bible. If you will follow along, please, in your Bible as I read, I think you'll see the emphasis that Jesus is making here. And again, I want to remind you that this phrase, at that time, is a technical phrase that appears in the book of Matthew to distinguish important events in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. I think it's important to point that out. And whenever you come across that, be good to highlight that phrase, because you're going to see it again in chapter 12 in the very first verse. At that time, Jesus went through the fields of the standing grain. In other words, there was something significant that was taking place here in this ministry change. As we said before, this ministry shift is away from a national message to an individual message. He's going to appeal to individuals now. He's not going to appeal to the nation that they turned to the Messiah. He's going to turn to individuals now, and you're going to see that from this point on in the book of Matthew, you're not going to see a national offering of the kingdom of God to Israel again in the book of Matthew. So this is very significant. This is very important in your Bible study. Don't gloss over these things. It helps you to rightly divide the word of truth and understand where when we get to the book of Acts, you're going to understand it better if you know what's happened here in Matthew and the other Gospels in regard to Jesus withdrawing quietly, the national message of the kingdom. And now He's going to deal with individuals, and He's going to deal with mysteries regarding the future kingdom now. Not going to take place during His first coming, but He's going to deal with some very important things in chapter 12 and chapter 13 as He tries to teach those that have ears to hear. Now, this is important as well. That's where He's going to focus His attention now, on those who have ears to hear. Who are they? They are people who are willing to listen. Willing to listen. Are you willing to listen? That's a big difference today. We have a lot of people that are in churches, but very few are willing to listen. It goes in one ear and out the other because they're just biding their time. They're doing this because it's a social event for them, or they have a lot of friends that go to church. They want to be there with them. And there's not this indwelling love for the truth of God and this desire to hear it over and over. Does the Word of God get boring to hear it over and over again? It should never, for the child of God, be boring. It should be something that refreshes. It's food. It's food for our soul. And if you can hear it and say, I've heard that before, then you haven't heard it before. You don't have ears to hear. You're telling everyone, I don't have ears to hear because I think it's boring. That's what's wrong with churchianity today. The pastors have come to the place, well, I'm boring them with preaching, so we got to do a lot of other things here to keep their attention so that they don't get bored. Wait a minute. What's church for? It's for the sheep. Church is for the sheep. They're to be fed and they're to be watered. The sheep don't complain, hey, we don't like this grass over here. Yeah, it'd be really nice if you take us to a different... We drink at the same stream every day. You ever hear sheep? They'll stick up a paw in the air. Mr. Shepherd, you know, we grazed on this field 2 weeks ago. This is getting boring. No, they're happy. They're being fed. The shepherd's leading them to food and leading them to water. And the reason that people are bored today is because they're not sheep. They're not sheep. They're dressed up in sheep's clothing, perhaps, but they're wolves in reality. And just wait till they let go. And they jerk off that thing and they start ravenously devouring those that are sheep. Why? Because it's not in their heart. And that's what the Lord's dealing with. He's dealing with Israel's heart. They've already rejected Him. The national census has been taken and they don't want Him. And so now He's going to deal with individuals. And by the way, as was pointed out in Sunday school this morning, who responds to the message of Christ? Samaritans. Samaritans responded. You know, what are you doing speaking to us? And Jesus is dealing with her at the well, a Samaritan, and giving her the gospel, and she responds to the truth. What does that teach you about our Lord? He wasn't all about Israel. He began to sense and understand where He was, where they were, and He brought the message to those that were forgotten in Israel, and they responded to the Word. Verse 25, I'm reading from the Amplified. You follow along as we finish up this chapter. At that time, Jesus began to say, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and acknowledge openly and joyfully to Your honor that You have hidden these things from the wise and clever and learned and revealed them to babies, to the childish, untaught, and unskilled. Yes, Father, I praise You that such was Your gracious will and good pleasure. All things were entrusted and delivered to Me by My Father. And no one fully knows and accurately understands the Son except the Father. And no one fully knows and accurately understands the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son deliberately wills to make Him known. Now, who is He talking to here? He's talking to those who have rejected Him. But He's also talking to those that have ears to hear. I can reveal Myself to whom I will, but I will reveal Myself to those that have ears to hear. That's the point of verse 27. And then He gives this invitation. He says three things about Himself in verse 27 that we're going to look at tonight. And then He shares three things as by way of invitation to these individuals in Israel. Verse 28. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. For I am gentle or meek and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest. You will find relief, ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For My yoke is wholesome. It's useful. It's good. It is not harsh. It is not hard or sharp or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And My burden is light and easy to be borne. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We ask, dear Father, that You would work in our hearts. Lord, it's so easy to allow Your Word to just kind of stumble through our minds and yet not take root because we're not fully engaged mentally. We're not fully engaged spiritually to receive it. Lord, I pray that that would not be the case among Your people tonight. I pray, Father, that we might be engaged spiritually and mentally so that we can receive the truth into our minds, but also into our very souls, our heart, who we truly are, would receive the truth. May we examine ourselves as we consider these words of Christ, these words of invitation that are given to individuals there in Israel. And I pray, Father, that we might truly understand and know that Your yoke is easy and the burden is light because You give us grace and power and strength to be able to carry the load that You've given to us. We're not yoked alone. We're yoked with Thee. And when we're yoked with Thee, we have all the power we need to carry forth Your work. And so, Father, I pray that You would work in our hearts tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 27 is a commentary on verse 25. The Holy Spirit here is expanding on the truth that God has chosen to reveal His will to babies, the spiritually humble and helpless, rather than those who are proud and self-reliant. You know, it's interesting that error has been promulgated in this world, and it's come from the intelligentsia. You understand that? It's come from our educational institutions. It's come from our universities. It's come from those who think they know better than God. and they worship at the altar of the mind. And so they've come up with these schemes and plans and so forth and philosophies that they have pawned on children. They pawn them on teenagers. How else can you have the nonsense that's going on today in our universities? Did you see that professor? That was, you know, I thought we were all about, tolerance. Here's this reporter who works for the school newspaper. He's got his camera and he's taping what's going on. And she says, "You can't be here." And the reporter said, "Yes, I can." "You can't be here. You have to leave." "No, I don't have to. I'm a reporter for the school." And then immediately this professor begins to run around and say, "I need some muscle over here to get rid of this reporter." She thought she could get everybody gathered around. And you know what some of the kids did? They went over and said, "It's fine, you stay." I don't know what she's all upset about. But they went over there and said, "He's fine. We don't have anything to hide here." But she had something to hide. And guess what happened? She had to resign. Because she was using her position to do something that was contrary to not only the university rules, but according to our Constitution, freedom of the press, Amendment number 1. But we've forgotten that. We've forgotten that. And so here she was. She was trying to squelch what was going on. She got caught. She resigned. She'll be picked up by somebody else before too long. They'll let her back in. But here's somebody that's teaching our children and our young people, ginning up all kinds of things, ginning up these concepts and ideas that are not sustainable, that are not realistic. They're not reasonable. But we don't think anymore, we feel our way. You see that? We're feeling our way. "Hey, I want my tuition free. I don't want to have to work for it." Well, wait a minute. I want to tell you something. I had to work all through college to pay for my education. I had some help from mom and dad, but majority of it I had to pay for myself. I worked every summer. I worked every Christmas. Every Saturday I worked off campus. I was working during the week. I had to pay the bills. And you know what? My college education means a lot more to me because I had to invest myself in it. You know what's going to happen to a bunch of young people that don't have to invest themselves in their college education? They won't be worth the gunpowder it'd take to blow them up. What sense would I have going into a classroom to learn anything if it's provided for me free? We already see the outcome of that, do we not? We see it all the time. We see cheating. We see people that are breaking into the college systems trying to steal the tests so they can have it ahead of time. They don't have anything invested in this. You know, on every statement, I was just perusing a little bit some of the college courses that you can take online. Teachers can take online courses. I was looking at UNC just to see what they had for history courses. And on every syllabus, they have this long thing on plagiarism about what's tolerated, what's not tolerated, what you're not supposed to do, you're not supposed to be copying. It goes into great detail, and you would think this would be just common knowledge. But they put it on everything. Why? Because that's the biggest problem that they have. Cheating. Stealing. Paying a European student over there that's wrote a master's thesis. I pay them. You send it to me. I turn it in here in America. And I get credit for that. All right, this stuff's been going on for a very long time. But I want to tell you something. When you're personally invested in your education, it means a whole lot more than getting it for free. But you know what? The whole mentality behind that is all messed up. It's upside down. What idea do you have that you think you can get it for free? Well, Pastor Watt talked about it. It's a sense of entitlement. Yeah. You owe me this. Really? I owe you, an 18-year-old something, a free college education on my back. I owe you that. On what basis do I owe you that? They will never be able to tell you why. It just sounds good. So we accept it. Somebody said that in my college class. I like that. Let's go with it. Let's run with it. But no thought put into it. I thought that college was a place where we're supposed to be developing our thinking skills. I took a class on rhetoric and logic in college and talked about argumentation and using deductive reasoning to be able to come up with arguments and inductive reasoning, all those different things that I took in college, to learn how to think. But today we're not learning how to think. We feel our way. We're like blind men playing blind men's bluff. And we just feel our way through life. You know what that leads to? It leads to chaos. And what was happening in the Israelite culture of that time when Jesus Christ was utter chaos. They were searching for a political resolution to their problem of the day. And by the way, we're doing the same thing in the United States of America. When you have almost 50% of the population saying that socialism is the only thing that's going to help us survive, you know we've ceased to be a thinking nation. We have the wrecks of countries all around us that went down that pathway. Let's follow Greece. We want to be a third world country. We want to have, 8 weeks off every year. 8 weeks off. Paid leave. We love that. But guess what? We're broke. Government has no money. What do? We call Germany up and say, hey, Merkel, Prime Minister Merkel, would you please give us another loan so we can keep doing what we're doing? And they decided, yes, we'll give you another loan, but this is the last time. Yeah, how many times does that happen? This is the last time we're going to do that. When every nation in the world said, Germany, you better do that. We can't have Greece going down. If they go down, that's a slap in the face to socialism. And we all know that's the answer to all of our problems. We've ceased to be a thinking people. We don't think about the present, and we certainly do not think about the future. And I'm going beyond the political stuff. I'm not talking about elections and stuff. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Very few people are thinking about eternity. Thinking about eternity. We're here 70, 80, 90 years on this earth, and then we're gone. Now, for some people, it's live and let live. One of the things that I learned about Charles Lindbergh in my reading of this book that I've been reading, after he died, it was found out that he had three other families in Europe. He had fathered 8 children in Europe. His trips to Europe that were representing the United States government was where he was involved with 3 different women, and he had 8 children with them, and he would leave them money. He was a multimillionaire after his flight across the Atlantic. He was given hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. He became a multimillionaire, and so he had 7 children in the U.S., lost one of them. Charles Jr. was killed. But there were 7 children in the U.S., 8 children over in Europe. And nobody knew about him until after he died. And one of the children came to the United States to meet with one of the other children and said, your daddy was my daddy. What? So the family paid for DNA testing. This was done relatively recently. And they found out that he had sired 8 children. Nobody knew about that. He had covered his tracks. He had kept everything silent. As a matter of fact, before he died, he sent a letter to those 3 families and begged them, please keep this quiet. I don't want this to come out after my death. But you can't keep sin covered, can you? And it came out. It was devastating to his wife. Devastating. She lived to be 94 years of age before she passed away. She passed away in 2001. 94 years of age. Her life was completely devastated when the news came out that he had 8 children on the other side of the world, trying to keep a secret from his wife. She thought they had a wonderful relationship and found out he was cheating on her all those years. Would you like to find that out? How sad. But you know what the children of Israel were doing? They were cheating on God. They had other loves. We don't want your son. We don't want anything to do with him. And so they rejected him. They crucified him. And there are some who sit in churches all across America who come to church and they have a Bible under their arm, but they're cheating on God. How do we cheat on God? Well, instead of resting in Him, as the scripture verse said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We try to find rest somewhere else. We try to find our rest and comfort. Did you notice that in the reading that I gave to you? Let me read it again. The last 2 verses. Well, actually, the last three. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Who will? God will. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, relief, ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet. Found where? In Jesus Christ. For your souls, for my yoke is wholesome, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. What is the attacks that are made against Christianity? You're just a bunch of no people. You always say no. I want a religion that says yes. You know what that's saying? I don't want anything to do with Jesus. I want to have the comforts of this world. I want to live my life to please myself. You go ahead. You go ahead. You're making the biggest mistake of eternity. Not just this life, but of eternity. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ makes three statements about Himself here that I want to point out. Number one, the first important statement that He makes concerning Himself, emphasizing His deity, sovereignty, and especially His Godhead. I want to go back to my Bible here, the King James, and get back to this passage so I can share these with you. Because this is the basis upon which these last three things that are mentioned in the latter part of this chapter are based upon. Number one, the first important truth of this verse is not so much taught as taken for granted. Jesus equates Himself with whom? The Father. Now you remember the response in John when they heard that, they sought to stone Him. Why? For He made Himself equal with God. This is the first statement here. I and my Father are one. You can't know the Father unless you know me, Jesus said. And you can't know me. You can't know me unless I reveal myself unto you. There are a lot of people who are acquainted with Jesus, but they don't know Him. We have so many Jesuses today, we've lost count. I mean, everybody has their notion about who Jesus was. Everybody knows that there is no picture, and I shouldn't say everybody knows, because not everybody does know. They're artists' conceptions of our Lord. And sadly, a lot of them show Him with long, straggly hair. All right? But you know what the Bible says? It's a shame for a man to wear long hair. Only in the Middle Eastern economy, and you have to understand history here, in the Middle Eastern economy, a man with long hair had either taken a Nazarite vow or had committed something shameful. Men had short haircuts back in those days. Now you say, well, how short were they? I don't know. All right? We have standards in our school where we've drawn the line. This is where we're going to do it. The military has standards for hair. All right? You want to see boys cry? Go to the initiation at boot camp. They did that a few years ago on 2020, the news program. They followed this boy as he got on the bus at some ungodly hour of the morning, which they do to them. And they made the bus ride all the way up there to the camp, unloaded them, and the first thing they did, they are screaming at them. They're hollering, get off the bus, leave that stuff behind, you're not taking mama's stuff with you. They got their little bags and stuff, you know. And so they get it all taken away from them, and then they herd them in there to have their haircuts. And it was amazing to me, boys crying as they were having their little haircuts taken off. And they were getting shaved down to the ball. And then they took their expensive little glasses that they got from somebody and they threw them in the trash. He said, you can have that back later on. We're going to take that away. I threw it in a box. And they gave them these ugly horn-rimmed looking glasses. I got to wear that. Well, if you want to see my boot coming at you, you better put those glasses on. So they put those ugly horn-rimmed. What are they doing? They're stripping away what? They're stripping away their personalities that they've all had during that time, and they're making them government issue. So, what's that? G.I. Joe. That's right. They're making them into G.I.s. Why? Because one of these days they're going to have to give a command. We're going to Afghanistan. Can we vote on that? That's messing up my plans here. I was really going, no! Get your stuff. We're leaving. You don't have any discussion about that. Why? Because you belong to the United States government. And they take over everything. And so they cut their hair. And this 2020 person, they were filming this, and this boy was just crying and said, son, why are you crying? Boy, the drill sergeant was just laying into him. I love my hair! And he said, you better start loving my hair. But sir, you don't have any hair. That's right, and neither do you. And I mean, they just were just working him over, and they don't have a mirror there. The barber doesn't come up to him and put the little mirror up. You know how our barbers come up to us and they say, what do you think of this? And we say, well, you know, a little bit more off the top. Hey, I'd like to get a little bit around the ears a little bit more. You know how we do that? They don't do that. They don't have mirror. They don't believe in them. They have one cut that they get when they go to boot camp. And as long as the barber knows what it is, it doesn't matter because he's government issue. Now, where am I going with that? I have no idea. It has something to do with what we're talking about here, related to the fact that Jesus did what the Father said to do. They were perfectly in sync. Why? Because Jesus is God. And the only way I'm going to know the Father is to know the Son. I can't vote and say, I want to bypass Jesus. I want to do something else. You don't have a vote. You accept how God does things. You know, that's what's going to make heaven, heaven. None of us have any say on how heaven's being built right now. Well, you know, I'd like a little say in it. You'd mess it up. Amen? Oh, I don't know if I would. Yes, you would! You'd mess it up. First of all, we come into heaven crying and Jesus has to wipe away our tears. Think about that. He has to wipe away our tears because we come into His presence weeping because we realize just how sorry we really are and how wonderful Jesus Christ is and how undeserving of His grace we are. At that moment, when we look into our Savior's eyes and we see ourselves and our frailties and our weaknesses and we see the beauties and glories of heaven that He's created, no one will say, the picture's not straight over here. No one will say, I have a squeaky hinge. Heaven's not going to be like it is here. And you might as well understand that now. We like to carry thoughts of earth with us. When we get to heaven, it's going to all be different. We're not going to have thoughts of earth. I know it's been romanticized, and we're going to sit around, you know, on the Cracker Barrel up in heaven, and we're going to talk about the good old days. I want to tell you something. I don't know how much we're going to remember about the good old days. I think God's going to do a lot of erasing. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be glad for that. The only thing I will remember that I know of for sure is that I will go to heaven on the merits of Jesus Christ alone. And that's all I need to know about the past. You know, we like to romanticize, don't we? You know, I've got a lot of questions for Paul and Peter. Well, I've said that too. But you know what? I don't know if I'm going to have any questions for them. My mind's going to be totally different. It's going to be a mind geared for heaven and for heaven operations and for bringing praise and glory to the Son. And that's going to be the most wonderful thing. We're going to be freed from the bondage of this earth. Israel didn't want to be freed from their bondage. They just love this world too much. Jesus said, I'm equal with God. Number two, the second truth of this verse is explicit, verse 27. In His deity, Jesus not only was intimate with the Father, but had received all things from the Father. All authority, all sovereignty, all truth, all grace, all power had been given to Him from the Father. Now that is very important for us to grasp. Look at that verse 27. All things are delivered unto Me of My Father. Everything that Jesus has been given to Him by His Father. Now, by the way, it's interesting to note that the Lord Jesus Christ says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. And by the way, who will tell? The Father will. The Father knows the day and the hour. That's what Jesus said. The Father knows the times and the seasons. They're in His mind. And one day the Father will say, it is time, and heaven will move. And Jesus will come in the clouds, and the trump will sound, and He'll call forth His children. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And the motion of history will continue on for 7+ years. And then Jesus will reveal Himself in power to destroy the evil on this earth, and He will set up His kingdom. And there'll be 1,000-year reign. Oh, what a glorious time. All things have been delivered unto Jesus Christ. All things. There's nothing that you need to do. Jesus Christ has done it all, and He has everything in His care. Isn't that wonderful? Have you ever been dependent on somebody to do something for you? How many times have you been supposed to meet somebody somewhere and you forgot to do it? And they were down there and they call you and say, hey, I'm waiting down here. Oh, I forgot all about that. You know, there's never a moment in heaven like that where Jesus says, I forgot to do something. Every molecule, every atom moves at His command and will. Nothing gets forgotten. Nothing. All things have been given unto Him. All power, all sovereignty, all authority, everything. Now, do you think He can take care of your life and your soul? It's not a burden with Him. He's God. He's God. And so He reminds the Israelites here, these individuals that were present, all things have been delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Jesus said, I can reveal the Father to you, but you've got to come through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one door, and it's Jesus Christ. Does that sound too one way to you? Yeah, it is. It is. It's not inclusive. It's exclusive. No other doors to heaven, only one. That's troubling to a lot of people. We're so democratically minded today that we think that we have to vote on everything. You know what you get when everybody votes? Chaos. I have found you don't ask middle schoolers what they want to eat. Now, that's the biggest mistake. You'll get the 33 kids, you'll get 34 answers because one of them will be kind of waffling between something. So you basically have to narrow it down for them, say, we got two things, pick one. All right? We can deal with two. We can't deal with 33 different things. You just don't give that opportunity to. They can't handle it. Too many things. Now, they can handle some things, but when it comes to choosing type stuff, you know, we went to Tallahassee with them, and I said, we're going to be eating at the Capitol. Oh, we were hoping that we could go to set. And I started getting all kinds. I said, nope, we're going to eat at the Capitol building. We're going to be in one place, one time, and you can order off their menu. Make it simple. Now, we have got this democracy-mindedness. There's nothing democratic about heaven. Nothing democratic about heaven. All things have been delivered unto the Son. And I think if you're honest about that, even in this world, we can be honest about things and say, you know what? That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. He's going to take care of everything. That's the only way. And now listen to me now. This is the only way you can have rest. That's the only way you can have rest, is that if Jesus takes care of everything. Number three, the third truth of this verse is that no one knows the Son except the Father. Man has no way in himself of discovering God or what God is like because his finite mind cannot grasp God's infinite nature. Philosophy and religion are utterly incapable of reasoning out God or His truth because they are of a finite lower order. What does evolution teach? You know, we've gotten so disturbed today, the scientific community. Okay? They see genetic entropy taking place. This goes against evolutionary thought. What is genetic entropy? The breakdown of genes. We're seeing this. As time goes on, we're seeing more and more mutations. We're seeing the breakdown. So what are they doing? They're switching gears. Kind of like when we went from global warming to climate change. We'll pick that. If you say climate change, well, you can say anything then. It's getting too hot. It's getting too cold. You know, and then you'd be right. You know, because some place is going to be 100 degrees and some place is going to be freezing. You can't lose that way. So they switch gears now and they see that this evolutionary process is breaking down genetic entropy, mutations happening. By the way, why we're having so many different types of cancer that are getting harder and harder. Now we're having trouble with antibiotics because now we're building up immunities to antibiotics. What are we going to do next? We're not evolving like we thought. So now what we're doing, we're saying, maybe that we're all wrong about this evolutionary thing. Maybe it's just the evolving of the mind. So now, what we're wanting to do and what Honda is working on now is creating the perfect human being. In the early part of next year, they're supposed to be producing genetically perfect children. They've been studying, been working on how to remove. They can study DNA, know, and see the propensities in a family to determine whether there's going to be cancer, and so they can manipulate the DNA and do, I don't understand it all. But their desire is to produce the perfect human being and the perfect robot that can do everything that man can do and can think. Have you ever had a conversation with Siri on your smartphone? How many of you have a smartphone? Okay, you can admit it, that's all right. Hopefully you're not surfing it right now while we're trying to finish up this message. But here's the thing. You ever had a conversation? Sometimes when I bend over, I hit the button. Okay? And she said, I'm sorry, I didn't hear your request. And I'm like, who was that? Okay? It was Siri. And my daughter started doing crazy things. She started talking to Siri the other day. We were in the car. She said, Dad, can I use your smartphone? She started asking Siri questions. Who is the most beautiful person in the van? I don't know why she started that with that one. And there was a whole bunch of, what does a fox say? That's a thing that it comes on this hyena laugh that they have. And there was all kinds of questions and stuff. And said, I don't understand your question. And I'm sitting there and said, we're having a question and answer time with a smartphone. They pre-programmed it with all kinds of answers and stuff and the ability, I guess, to respond to those kind of things. Where are we going? We're wanting to produce the most perfect humanoid possible. Why? Because that's where evolution goes. The elimination of the human race, which is genetically flawed, and we'll pass along this humanoid race, and we will have improved, and we will have proven evolution to be true. What's wrong with that? It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Now, we read about some very strange things in the book of Revelation, do we not? Descriptions that are given by John. I don't know what all those mean. Some of them are very frightening, to be honest. The creature that has a tail that stings, bites like a serpent, and has the ability to cause pain and does so for 5 months period of time. I don't understand all the things and what it's going to look like and how John was describing, but this I know, the Lord is in charge. And as we learn here in this third thing, our finite minds cannot grasp it all. We just have to believe it by faith. So he concludes with an invitation here. And we'll conclude as well. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Number one, come. Come. We're not going to be able to get to it tonight, but I have a recording that I'm going to play here in the near future of a young lady. This was recorded a few years ago. A young lady, 16, giving her testimony of her life. Her name was Frankie. She was from California. And she is a girl that graduated from the Marvelous Grace Girls Home here locally. And I got a recording of her testimony. And I was struck at this young lady's past and her present and what has happened in her life. But she talks about the fact, when I finally came to Jesus, my life was completely changed. At 13, she was doing drugs. She was involved with boys. She was doing things that she ought not to do. Her mother finally came to a determination. You're going to either go to you're going to go back into foster care. You're going to go to a military school, or you can go to the Marvelous Grace Girls Home, and I'm going to make the decision. And she said she went off on her mother screaming, carrying on, and what she said, all right, then it's foster care. No, you can't do that. All right, it's Marvelous Grace. That's my decision. And she went. And she said, you know what I did? I determined at the very beginning that I was going to be the sweetest girl in the entire home so I could get home early and go back to my lifestyle. I'm going to fake it. And so she did. 2 years she did it. She got under conviction in a preaching service. And she said, I'm nothing but a fake and a fraud. And she ran forward and she grabbed a hold of Mr. Blankenship, who's the director of Marvelous Grace, and she said, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I have been nothing but a fraud the whole time I've been here. She said she'd been under conviction for a long time. She said it was getting harder and harder and harder to play the hypocrite. But she was doing a good job. She finally trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I'm going to let her tell it herself sometime here in the near future. But you know what? She came to Jesus. Stop with this Jesus, come to me. He's already come. He wants you to come to Him. Very quickly, He wants you to receive. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. He wants you to receive rest from Him. Come, receive, and what's the last one? Submit. Now here was the problem in Israel. That's a tough one. Submit. Submit. What is He saying here in this last verse? Take my yoke upon you. A yoke is an instrument of work. An ox or a donkey had to submit themselves to have that yoke put on them and then attach to the plow and go out and do the labor of the day. Submit. Submit. This is the tough one. This is where people turn away from the gospel. This matter of submitting. Obedience is required. Obedience is required. What a statement here that Jesus is making. Have you come? Have you received? Have you submitted? That's the invitation. Come, receive, and submit. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why? Because we're yoked with Christ. Amen? We're yoked with Christ. And when we're yoked with Christ, we can bear any burden that comes our way because our Savior is there to bear it with us. That's the picture. This is the message of chapter 11. As we come to the conclusion, now we're going to chapter 12. We're going to see some major uprisings take place. We're going to see some things, and that's going to cause the Lord to move into a direction of sharing some of the mysteries of the kingdom and why those who will not submit will not participate in His kingdom. While they'll be doomed to a devil's hell. Why the tares will be cast into the fire. Because they are not worthy to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they would not come, they would not receive, they would not submit. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time together tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our hearts. There may be some here tonight who have not come to Jesus. They have not received from His hand the righteousness and the rest that He desires to give because they will not submit. They will not bow the knee. Your Word has told us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. The question is when. The opportunity is now. The when, if it comes later, will be too late and judgment will be poured out. Lord, I thank You for this passage of Scripture and I thank You, as Jesus did, that You've ordained it this way, that only those who are simple babies can receive this truth. Unsophisticated, not mixing their thoughts with Your thoughts, but just taking Your thoughts as is face value. Coming, receiving, and submitting. Oh, Father, I pray that You would work in our hearts tonight. Do a work of grace in sinners' hearts. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.